This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm going to try that one more time. Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't God good? All the time, and all the time, God is good. I'm glad to be with the saints this morning. Glad to be with you all and back in chapel at CIU. It's a blessing. I thank the Lord for the African American Student Association, and I appreciate their invitation to come this morning. Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. Will you turn there with me? Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. And it reads, "Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all.'" Lord, we cry out this morning and we say, help. Oftentimes when Jesus gives direction, God, he gives us direction to an uncomfortable place. He gives us direction on uncomfortable matters. And this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to us. Open up all of our hearts, God, that we might hear from you. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would speak this morning, and I pray, Lord, that we would hear. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. A couple days ago, the world was able to watch the two greatest teams in the National Football League come together and clash and battle. It was supposed to be a war of the two greatest football teams in the 2013-2014 season. I say supposed to be because it wasn't too much of a war, was it? Amen, somebody. It was pretty much one-sided. But we were trying to figure out who was the greatest team. I know they selected the most valuable player, but the point of the game was to figure out who was the greatest team, not the greatest player. But I find it unfortunate that oftentimes people are more concerned about the greatest player than the greatest team. I want you to know this morning that we are all on the same team. Are y'all praying with me this morning? We're all on the same team. Turn to somebody and tell them, we're on the same team. But all too often in Christian circles, we find ourselves trying to figure out who's the best player on the team. And instead of realizing that we're all on the same team. That was the problem with the disciples in our text. They were trying to figure out who was the greatest disciple. They forgot for a moment that they were all on the same team. They were on Jesus' team. They were being persecuted. The religious leadership didn't like them. They were all playing for the same team. But it turns out that they were all playing for themselves. They wanted to figure out who was the greatest disciple. Which disciple knew the most scripture, maybe? Which disciple was the best at exegeting the text? Which disciple prayed more? Which disciple was closer to the Lord? Maybe they wanted to know which disciple Jesus loved the most. If we were reading John's gospel, he would have said, hey, it's me, because he loved me the most. Maybe Peter or James said, it's one of us, because when Jairus' daughter was dead, he didn't take the other disciples, but he took Peter and James. And he went into the room and he told the little girl to get up. And Peter and James might have said, we watched the Lord raise this child up from the dead. John might have said, he loved me and I got to watch him raise a child from the dead. Maybe Peter, James, and John said, well, it was me, it's one of us, because we watched him be glorified for a moment. When he was with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets and the fulfillments of both the law and the prophets came together, and we were able to watch this. Maybe Peter said, it's me because it was my idea to build an altar. But as the disciples and Jesus begin to travel back to Capernaum, the disciples are trying to figure out who is the greatest. Maybe they wanted to know who was Jesus' favorite. Who did Jesus love the most? Who was the best disciple? There's nobody in here like that today. Nobody wants to figure out if they're the best student, if they're the best prayer warrior, if they're the best Christian. Nobody in here compares themselves to others and says, well, I'm better than this person because they've messed up. I'm better than this person because they failed a test. I'm better than this person because they haven't passed this class. I'm better than this person because I've never seen them do this or do that. I know there's nobody in here trying to be the greatest player because we all know that we're on the same team. I want you to know this morning that when we serve one another, we can become great together. When we serve one another, we can become great together. It's not about who's the greatest. It's about if we can become great together because we're all on the same team. How does Jesus answer the disciples when they are disputing who's the greatest? I'm glad Jesus didn't call names and put anybody on blast or call anybody out. But he essentially said, Peter, it's not you. James, it's not you. John, it's not you. But if anyone desires to be the first, he shall also be last and be the servant of all. We have our answer this morning. What does it take to be the greatest? We have to be the servant of all. This morning, I'd like to give us three insights about service that I gleaned from this passage. Because oftentimes I find it that even though we seek to be unified, we don't understand what it means to serve. But this morning, I want to give you three insights about service. First of all, our service ought to be willing service. Y'all praying with me this morning? It ought to be willing service. Serve willingly. Not under compulsion, not under obligation, but serve willingly. The word that Jesus uses for servant in our text today isn't that word for a slave who's placed into slavery and who's complied to serve, but this is a servant who serves willingly, who gives of their own heart willingly. Not that they were told to do it, but they do it on their own accord because they're willing to serve. Lord, help us. You ever had to serve, but you didn't feel like serving? You ever had to serve, but you had to wake up too early in the morning? You ever had to serve, but you had to stay up too late at night? Have you ever had to serve, but you had so much going on? This exam was coming up, this paper was coming up, and it seemed as if everything was being dumped on you, and you didn't have the time to give to serve. I wonder, do I have any willing servants? Anyone who makes service a priority? I know we have to handle our responsibilities, but do we have any willing servants? Even when times get rough, you still show up with a smile on your face. Even when things at home aren't the best, even when your relationships aren't great, you still show up willingly. I think we all can appreciate a willing servant. Somebody who serves willingly. Don't get mad at me for saying willing too much, because I want you to know today that we have to serve willingly. That's the kind of servant Jesus is looking for. That's the kind of servant that brings unity. Someone who serves willingly. Have you ever been able to tell if somebody's serving willingly or not? The way they show up, their attitude when they serve. I find it interesting here that the disciples are even arguing about this at this time. In fact, it makes me kind of upset that they're arguing about who's the greatest at a time like this. Jesus has just explained to them that he was going to be betrayed, that he would have to suffer, that he would have to die. And so, of course, these loving disciples, especially Peter, James, and John, Of course, they go and they comfort Jesus, right? They put their arms around Jesus. They say, Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. We'll take care of you. But my friends, instead of doing that, the disciples begin disputing with one another, arguing with one another, fussing with one another about who would be the greatest. Maybe they were discussing who would be the greatest to see who should take Jesus' place when he was gone. As a youth pastor working with children, I have the wonderful opportunity to play a game called kickball. Anybody know how to play kickball in here? It's just like baseball, except there's no bat. You just use your foot, and you kick the ball. Well, the other week, I was playing kickball with some of the children at my church, and I don't know what it is about kickball, but everybody wants to be the pitcher. Everybody wants to roll the ball. I'm not sure what it is. Coach Abbott, can you help me with that sometime? I don't even know what the deal is with that. But everybody wants to pitch the ball. Well, there was this little girl rolling the ball, and she was doing a wonderful job. She was striking people out. Well, it just so happened that somebody caught on to her curveball, and she rolled the ball with her curve on it, and somebody caught that ball just the right way, and it went flying. Except it didn't go up. It went straight, and it went straight and hit her in the face. Lord have mercy. What's a youth pastor do when a child gets hurt? I ran over to the little girl and I picked her up. Fortunately, she wasn't crying too bad. I don't know. Maybe her pride was in the way of her tears, but she didn't cry too bad. We picked her up. And I thought for sure her teammates would have surrounded her with love and care, because I saw one of the third basemen run over to her as quickly as he could. And when he showed up, I knew he was going to say, Oh, are you okay? But he ran up and he said, can I be the pitcher now? Isn't that like us sometimes when we see somebody hurting, when we see somebody down, we want to run over there to take their spot. We want to run over there to take their light. We want to run over there to take their glory, to take their recognition. We see them fall, we see them mess up, and instead of running over to see if they're okay, instead of running over to care for them, we just want to step all over them so we can look better, so we can feel better about ourselves, so we can be closer and more recognized by other people. But God has called us to be willing servants. Not only has God called us to serve willingly, but God has also, watch this, called us to serve recklessly. God has also called us to serve recklessly. Look at what Jesus says. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all. If you were scratching your head on that, I'm scratching my head on that too. How does that work if we want to be first? How does that work if we want to be last? I don't get that. I don't understand that. But I believe Jesus wants us to serve recklessly, serve without reservation, to serve with abandonment. We shouldn't be asking when we serve, how long will this take? We shouldn't be asking, how many times will they ask me to do this? When it comes to service, it ought to be, if it's willing, it ought to be reckless as well. So it doesn't matter how much time it will take. It doesn't matter how long it will be. It doesn't matter how many times they're going to ask. But we ought to serve recklessly. I want you to know this morning that sometimes service will cost you. No, service shouldn't cost me, because I got to look out for me. I got to look out for Brooks Hurd. I got to look out for myself. But when I'm serving, it's not about me. Amen, somebody? When I'm serving, it's not about me. It's about someone else. Is there anyone here who's willing to serve recklessly? Who's willing to take on a job even though you don't know if you're going to have a replacement? Is there anybody who's willing to teach children's church even though you won't be able to go to morning service? Is there anybody who's willing to teach Wednesday night Bible study even though you have Bible study on Tuesday night as well? And you got small group on Thursday night, and you want to have Friday to yourself, but then you have to have Saturday night service and Sunday morning service twice? Is there anybody who's willing to serve recklessly? There's a woman at the church in Augusta. This is a Korean church, by the way, and I have the opportunity to be around people that are very different from me. A lot of times they don't even speak the same language I do, and they come and speak to me, and they say many things in Korean that I don't understand. And I nod and say yes, and kamsahamnida, and hananim, and you know, which is God, and thank you. There's a woman at the church. Each Sunday after service, we have lunch, which is another added benefit of serving there. We eat kimchi and rice and bulgogi and bibimbap. We eat all these different foods. Well, different to me. But there's a woman there every Sunday. She goes around with a tray of water. She fills up cups of water. And depending on how many people are there, she has to make two or three trips. And when I watch her serve that water, she's so excited. I mean, she is just happy about serving this water. And she does it every Sunday. She doesn't rotate with anybody. Amen. She don't take a break. I was thinking about her this week, and I wondered to myself, I wonder when she started. Because the church was planted about 20 years ago. And I've been there for about 5 years, and the whole time I've been there, she's been serving water. In fact, if she ever has to be away, we got to get our own water. Because nobody's willing to serve recklessly like that. Maybe somebody asks, well, what if she don't come back? What if she takes a permanent vacation? What if she decides that it's my job to serve water now? But she serves recklessly because she didn't ask anybody how long it was going to take or how long she had to do it. But she was willing to serve. She wasn't worried about who was the greatest. She was worried about serving everybody. And she makes sure every Sunday, everybody gets their water. Even the little kids that come in, she makes sure they get their water too. I wonder, is anybody willing to serve recklessly? Is anybody willing to serve even though people might take advantage of you? Even though it may cost you your reputation? Sometimes service isn't just saying yes. Sometimes service isn't just saying, I'll give. There's a fine line between service and enabling. But sometimes service is saying no, but I can help you a different way. Sometimes service is saying, I can do this for you, but I can't do that for you. Sometimes service is making it a point to spend time with somebody. Sometimes it's easy to open up my wallet. I may not want to all the time, but it's easy to open up my wallet. But it may be a little bit more difficult to teach somebody how to budget their money. Y'all praying with me today? I wonder, is there anyone who's willing to serve recklessly? Serve wisely and serve without reservation. Not be concerned about how long it's going to take, but help the person with what they need. You shouldn't have to beg people to serve. Amen, somebody. You don't have to beg people to preach. You don't have to beg people to get a microphone and talk and stand up in front of people. But sometimes you got to beg people to sweep the floors. Sometimes you have to beg people to clean the bathrooms. I'm not cleaning those bathrooms. They don't even clean up behind themselves. Why should I clean the bathrooms? I wonder this morning, is there anybody who serves willingly and serves recklessly? Jesus says, if you want to be first, you have to be last and be the servant of all if you want to be the greatest. I need to pause just for a moment and remind you that we're all on the same team. Service becomes a little easier when we're all on the same team. When I know that you ought to have my best interests in mind and I should have your best interests in mind because we're all on the same team. We all wear the same jersey. We all wear the same color. Somebody said, yeah, it's blue and gold. But we're all on the same team as the body of believers. We're all on the same team. Serve willingly. Serve recklessly. But lastly, I want to remind you to serve lovingly. The basis of our service ought to be love. The reason why we serve ought to be love. That's the bottom line, is love. You really can't serve if you don't have love. I think that's the hardest part of all sometimes, is to serve with love. Because sometimes people don't say thank you. I mean, I done spent up my hard-earned money. I done shared my time. I done shared my resources. I've shared my life, and I poured out my life, and they don't even say thank you. Sometimes the people you do the most for come back and hurt you the most. Sometimes people you do the most for are least appreciative. This is a shepherding principle, by the way. Sometimes the people you do the most for have the least amount of appreciation. But sometimes the people you do the least for come back and they just say thank you, and they can't praise you enough. I need to let you know this morning that if you need a thank you for your service, watch this, it's not service. Lord help us. If you need a reward for your service, it's not service. If you need to be recognized for service and applauded and praised and exalted for your service, if you need a little pin that says I served for, amen, then it's not service. Thank God for people that bless us when we serve. Thank God for people that thank us when we serve, but that's not what it's about. When we serve one another, we can become great together. If we're more focused on becoming great ourselves, then we're not being servants, and we're really not great at all. But I wonder, is there anybody here today who serves willingly, serves recklessly, and serves lovingly? When I think about service, I think about Dr. Jones, who has Bible studies all around town and meets with businessmen day in and day out, serves here and serves in many other capacities. I think about how he mobilizes missionaries. I think about how he cares for people, and his concern is evangelism. When I think about service, I think about Dr. Jack Layman. Oh, y'all not praying with me today? Who serves and serves and serves and serves. Not only here at CIU, but many other places too. When I think about service, I think about Lee Morris Sr., who served here at CIU in the physical plant department for many, many, many years. He retired and then he came back. He retired again and he came back again. I think he's still retired now. Give him some time, he might come back though. When I think about service, I think about Dr. Cheryl Schiffman. She was my advisor in seminary. But not only did she serve me, but she served so many students. I'd watch how she'd labor in prayer for her students and labor over her work for teaching students. When I think about service, I think about Bob Calgren, who left the comforts of serving in a church with people like him to go serve at a church in the hood, and to invest his time and his resources into that place. When I think about service, I think about Harriet Tubman, who risked her life and her freedom to go back and get people who needed their freedom. When I think about service, I think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who even in the face of death was still willing to speak out and preach his message. And he gave his life for it. So the question still remains, who is the greatest? I want you to know this morning that it's Jesus who's the greatest. He's the greatest. He's the greatest of them all. He's the greatest there is. He's the greatest servant. He's the greatest teacher. He's the greatest master. He's just the greatest. He's the best. I ought to have some help today. He's the greatest. He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life so that I might have life. He gave his life so that we all could be on the same team. He gave his life so that he became a servant for us so that we could all serve together and become great together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, because he gave his life. He's the best example of a servant because he served willingly, he served recklessly, and he serves lovingly. And I pray that we do the same. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.